live, and happy birthday to me. Thanks for the good news, Wayne. I really appreciate that. Hey, Fred. Hey, everybody. Welcome. And now we're going to start streaming, and we are streaming. All right, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome, 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 welcome to our 207th meeting of Thinking Out Loud with Friends. You know, do your own research, because everything you hear today is going to be an opinion. Some of them you're going to agree with, some of them you're not going to agree with, but whatever it is, it's an opinion, so do your own research. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate it, especially today is my birthday, and as Wayne said, when's actually your birthday? I said, every day when it comes to free shit. That's all there is to it. Wherever I go
and
in,
do you know what, who's famous with, for you today? Know who's famous with you today? Guitar legend?
Guitar legend? No, guitar legend. I don't know him.
Joe Bonamassa.
Oh, Joe Bonamassa? Well, I could say like we were best friends, except I didn't know him. But what the hell? It's an opinion, so that's where it's at. So a little house cleaning business. Okay, before we get started, who has something that they want to say? I know we have a special guest today in the room. We have two special guests. But if I hold up my fingers like that, that looks like four special guests, but it's actually only two special guests.
I got one quick item. So Meyer Sound is doing, this is for people kind of on the West Coast. There is an event here in Los Angeles next Monday. It's a free ticket on Eventbrite for Point Source Audio. Then towards the end of the month, there is a Meyer training in Vegas. And curiously, it says it's a portable systems training. So I contacted Meyer, and in fact, it is Panther and 2100 LFC training at the end of the month in Vegas. And then June 4th through the 7th, there is training at Meyer's headquarters in Berkeley. And it will be kind of an advanced systems integration for the first 2 days. And then the final day on the 7th is going to be low frequency components. So I'm assuming what we'll probably be doing there is some kind of end fire array. So
I've taken both, and I sent my guys to the one in Portland with Magoo. And yeah, it's great. It's totally worth it. You know, they're going to review and cover a bunch of stuff on the first day that you may or may not already know. But after that, it gets pretty crazy pretty fast. All pass filters and all kinds of things about phase that you need to know.
Yeah. And Magoo's amazing. I mean, the guy is, he's an insane teacher. He's really good.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Anything else? Anybody? Oh, good. Okay. Hey, so I was talking with Ken Newman. He's not going to be at it. Maybe he'll pop in. Who knows? But does anybody here know of a company called Sensophonic? Anyway,
it's an in-ear monitor, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Sensophonics is in-ears.
And the guy is an audiologist, and he specializes in, you know, the best of hearing. And Marvin, I thought it was a good lead. Kenny gave me his number for you, so I will give you that number at the end of the show. All right? Okay. And he says that he's the kind of guy that is into mentoring and teaching and sharing ideas, and all he cares about is making sure that people have good hearing. And so I thought that would be a great lead for you, Marvin.
Yeah, and in the last few days, I've been in touch with Marty Garcia, and he's sending me a unit for me to test with a compass and see what the effect would be of the magnet in the driver on the compass. So we'll see how that works out.
Well, that's good.
He said on the north side of the in-ear piece, there's plenty of room, and he does 3D printing, so he could allow for that insert.
Well, that's great news. for you. Yeah. I mean, you're moving along. By the way, for those who don't know, in brief, tell them what you're working on so that people out there who have never seen this before, or the new people in the room that Ken Porter has brought in. And Ken wasn't here when you were talking about it. So just briefly say what you're working on.
I'm working on a system to implement spatialized audio into in-ear monitors that is dynamically tracking for head movement and for location, so that as people move around the stage, the relative positions for every monitor mix affecting the sound, and every head movement would be affecting the monitor mix as well. So it's clang. It's if you're familiar with the clang system, imagine the clang system, but with dynamic modifications for head orientation and location.
Well, very good. Excellent. So that's what we've done. And it's really fascinating. I think you were two shows ago, so I think that was 205. If people want to really get into the details, show 205 is on YouTube. And just remember, you know, give us a thumbs up if you like the show. And if you don't like the show, give us a thumbs up anyway, because, hey, that's the way I feel about it. You know, look, I think I've done it. There you go. Look, my birthday show. Wow. This is a new thing called SPX that I'm trying right now. SPX, it's free. It comes with Zoom, and it lets you do, lower thirds. There you go. So there you have it. Lower thirds. We can stop that. And what is this? I have no idea. Oh, look at that. The SPX graphics. I put it in the corner. Ken Porter, who do you got with you? What's going on over there in that corner?
Daniel from Germany, from Stage Tech, from Frankfurt. And then I got Michael Franklin from
Thircom.
And would like to show you something that Daniel brought me to play with. Is a new generation of consoles that does not have mic pre's in it. And there's a lot of advantages to it. And you might need to look at it and see what you think and see where we're going with consoles in the future.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. I mean, thank you guys for the opportunity. I don't want to hijack the show.
Please hijack the show. Are you kidding? Yeah. This is my birthday show. Everything goes, you know. I'm going to jump out of a cake in a little while. So,
I'm more than happy to talk a bit about it. What we are getting a lot is the idea of not having an analog preamp is like, oh, finally somebody did it. It's not finally. Stage Tech did that 30 years ago. So Stage Tech's been around since 1993 and released that system in 1993. And since then it's out. It's just like nobody knew about it, I guess. So we're talking about large scale signal distribution as the centerpiece of where the console sits in. So you can have up to 65,000 inputs, 65,000 outputs, 65 different stage boxes. That gives you roughly 60 million audio paths. Now you might think that's enough for an event or an installation. We have projects where that's not enough, where we actually just delivered the fourth system because they maxed it out. The reason why we think this is pretty interesting, our background in Europe is more broadcast, theaters, opera houses, not so much the live market. But since the technologies come closer together than what they used to be in 10 years ago, there's a real use case for these systems in the live market as well. And maybe just to give you a quick tour, I don't see myself, so you got to tell me whether you see it or not.
I'll run the camera.
Yeah. All right. We see it loud and clear. We see it.
Yeah. So this is what the stage boxes would look like. Totally modular. You can tell us exactly what card you want. We have obviously microphone converters, but also any digital format you would want to have. And we put that all in for you. So what you see here is like 64 mic ins, two Mardi cards, three Dante cards, AES-67, anything you want, right? And your smallest one is like one rack unit, largest one is 15 rack units. And they, if you can come up with a mic, they connect to one of these guys, which can do 4,096 square channels. And in the end, that all ends up in a big XY routing matrix. So once audio's in there, we don't really care what you want to route from where to where, including what format it is in. To give you a few benchmarks, audio-wise, right? It's no compromise. You don't need a splitter or anything. The converter has a dynamic range of 158 dB. So whatever signal you put in there just gets converted one-to-one into digital without any preamp. And from there on, we're just in the digital domain and use digital trims. Each microphone input has four splits. So you can do front of house, monitor, recording, broadcast, anything. And well, once we're digital, usually what's a big problem is the word clock. The AES recommends an accuracy of 40 ppm. We're at 4 ppm, so 10 times better than what the AES recommends. And that's the same all across the network. And if you connect the devices via proprietary fiber, the system will go that far to measure the length of the fiber to compensate for the delay introduced by the speed of light to adjust the word clock. And the third thing that's important is latency. If you go analog in through the entire network, through the big router, through the mixing console, back through the network, analog out, we're talking 33 to 35 samples, including the mixing console. So that's roughly 48K, 0.72 milliseconds. Yeah, and then over here, I don't know, Mike, can you see the console?
Can we do just a couple of technical questions before we get to the console?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the sample rates on the preamps, and then secondly, do you support Milan and Dante and all of the different specs? I mean, can you route between protocols?
Yeah, because once whatever happens, let's say we're in a Dante network, right? So you put Dante cards into these devices. So let's assume we have just one Dante card. So the only thing you would see from the Dante side is 64 inputs and outputs into that system, right? And whatever audio you send in there, this is where we take it off and process it any further. That being said, in one device, you can put 10 Dante cards and all of them are either in the same network or in different networks. We don't care, right? As soon as the audio is in our system, we treat everything the same way. And then it doesn't matter whether you want to route it to an analog card or to an AES-67 card, which is in a totally different network.
Okay. So it routes between protocols. That's very powerful. Yeah, that's yeah. Awesome.
So every audio over IP card can also act as a network bridge. Yeah.
And it's 96K, I'm assuming?
It can be 96K, but most of our customers don't, because a lot of the guys that go 96K is they have the feeling if they go 96K, they achieve a better audio quality, which in most of the situations is true. But many times it's to fix problems that happened before that. So let's say you have a bad word clock, right? You have converters that are kind of not so good. Maybe you have a processing in your console that does weird phase stuff. Obviously, if you go 96K, you got more accuracy with what you're doing. But if you have great, perfect audio quality, as good as it gets to start off with that, it might not be necessary. Because I think everybody will agree, if you're working on a desk that has an accuracy of 60, 70 PPMs, which is not unusual with live consoles, there's quite a lot of errors going on over the day. Well, if you work with a word clock that is accurate to 4 ppms, it's way more precise. So most of our customers, they just stay with 48K because the investment going to 96 with everything, it's just not justifying what they would gain with that system.
Yeah, and it's too much bandwidth.
Yeah.
Christopher, I think what he was saying was that it's on a per card per network basis.
That's correct.
The crossover, the one card doesn't cross to the other ones. You have to have multiple cards accessing multiple, like Ravenna and like AES-67 and like analog and like, you know, AES.
Absolutely,
but AES and HDSDI.
But the,
embedded.
Yeah, but the conclusion is that you could theoretically get inputs on one card and send it out on another. So it is a router.
Yes, it is a router.
Yeah.
But it solves a lot of problems because let's say you are in an octocore based system, right? And you have MADI coming in. You need to convert MADI to octocore if you want to distribute it across several consoles. You have to come up with a way to do that, but then you're very limited on your tie lines. If you want to go to other formats, you have to convert it again. If you want to get Dante into that network, you have to convert it again. Then you have like word clock nightmare. Your latencies add up, right? So it's all, I mean, to a certain
degree. It's doable for in the box, right? It's doable for in the box. But if you're trying to do it live, it's all.
But here's the point. We do that live. This is how things are done. And the point is maybe it's time to rethink that and say, hey, isn't there a better solution where we don't have to compromise with every little thing we're doing? And maybe go back to zero and think about it. How would we solve that if we could start from the beginning, doing it from the audio perspective, the correct way, instead of
digital.
Yeah, because and now it's like every step that we take, right, we're accepting compromises. And I mean, in the analog world, what was the compromise? Okay, you put an analog split in there and live with the fact that your impedance isn't just the right thing anymore. Okay, and then we took it from there. But once it went digital.
Well, why didn't companies come up with a better analog split?
Well, they used to, which was an active split, but
that's what I'm saying, an active split.
But they are discontinued now. I'm not aware of any pro manufacturer that still builds.
That's sad. It's almost like people who still use fax machines, right? It's sad. It's just time and technology. And
for you, the other one is it can also do Synthi out and stuff there when you need to, and also not having the mic pre in there so you don't have to take it up from mic level to 1.4 volts to turn it into ones and zeros. You can go straight into ones and zeros, which gives you the dynamic range, which is one of the customers is Formula One because they can deal with that bandwidth and they can deal with cars going by and not overloading input and still be able to get announcer, pull that announcer and using the cedars to kind of isolate background and to keep the primary source enhanced. So.
I
have one quick question on the converter because I'm very intrigued. When the signal comes in, the analog signal comes in, there's now no mic preamp. So you've got an amplitude with voltage reference going, doing its dynamics. But if a microphone's sending a signal of, say, 20 millivolts, how does that convert directly to digital with no mic preamp? So that's the bit that I'm asking, really.
It's four different converters, each designed to work with a different range of the dynamic range. And then a DSP decides between two samples which of the converters is best to be applied for the incoming signal.
Okay. So I have a question regarding proprietariness of that. Who owns the technology that you're wearing on those racks that you've shown us? Is that something that you've built? Or is that something, so tell us, what is the proprietary aspect of it? Have you, and what is the manufacturing process that you're going through and how fast can you produce these?
Sure. Maybe a bit of short story about the background of the company. You remember the days, maybe we put it just back on here. You remember the days when Neumann was still building analog studio consoles? Long time ago.
That's really a long time ago. I've been in the business, well, I don't know, since the early 90s, and I don't remember that. So, but maybe Ken Newman does. No, he doesn't either. He's shaking his head. No. Okay.
Yeah, so they built analog studio consoles, broadcast consoles, right? And must have been around 1990 when this thing digital audio came up. So the R&D department, console R&D department of Neumann, they were like, hey guys, we have this thing digital audio, maybe we should look into that. And Neumann was like, that's not going to have digital audio, never. So that argument heated up a little bit and got to the point that 13 engineers of the Neumann R&D department quit Neumann and started StageTech. So that was end of 1992. And then they developed that system back then. And since then, everything is produced in Germany, built in Berlin, developed in Berlin. Yeah. And right now we have, I mean, we have about 6,000 systems out in the world.
Really? 6,000?
Yeah.
Now, let me just interrupt one second. Is everything branded with the word Stage Tech on it? So we could see your logo, because I see you're wearing ADCD, but that's not actually your logo.
No, that was a marketing campaign. It has a small desktop version of this Nexus thing that looks like that. We call it the Nexus Compact. And that shirt was for a marketing campaign we did at NAB.
That's cool. The shirt's cool.
A lot of people don't know about it, but it was used for Saturday Night Live, I guess, for 20 years. Warner Studios, Skywalker Ranch. I think ESPN is still
ESPN's
using it.
ESPN's got a 60,000 square router for digital.
So it's Formula One. So it's in use a lot. 90% of Chinese CCTV is Stage Tech. Australian Parliament is Nexus. Same system.
So, and that's your system. That's your system.
I mean, not personally mine, but Stage Tech, yes.
Well, you can say whatever you want. Nobody cares right now. Nobody's listening, I swear. So they'll just say whatever you want. It's okay, fine. Now, how do you spell Stage Tech, just so I know? Could you show us the logo? Could you get the camera to look at the logo of Stage Tech? Can we see that?
I can show it to you on a pair of socks.
Oh, a pair of socks. I love it. Okay, there you go, just in case. Very nice. There you go. That's the way to, you got, you know, what do you got? $20 million worth of console right there. And all you could do is show me a pair of socks. I got it. That's good.
I mean, I think it's safe to say, if you look at the broadcast theater opera market in Europe, it's probably 50% LAVO, 50% Stage Tech. And it's just in America and the United States, nobody knows about us, or most of the people don't know about us. But that's stuff around for 30 years.
Don't say, your people might be listening. Okay, you don't want them to know, right? Or you do want them to know.
Yeah, we don't want to change that. Like that, keep things calm. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not like this is a new system or a new idea where, you know, people might be concerned, should we use that or should we think about that? It's not new. It's out for 30 years. And you know, Mecca, largest audio installation in the world. Holy city of Mecca.
Oh, yeah, where they do the Hajj.
That's all Nexus. All Stage Tech.
And so it's like a religious experience. I like that. It's good. You know?
It's also a huge amount of gear too.
Yeah.
And they also get a new sound system in too, right?
I'm not sure.
We can't talk about that.
Now, is that your console in the background? Is that something that your company built, Stage Tech built?
That's the newest one.
Let's go look at it now. Let's look at that. Let's look at that beauty.
So try to not get reflected.
I mean,
here.
It's probably a bit hard to go into details. But smallest version would be this. Largest version would be this with up to 96 faders and any combination in between. And
all right. Well, let me start with asking you a specific question. What are we looking at right now? What's the model number and what is that board that you have in front of you capable of doing?
The console itself, it's called Evados. And the model is the standard S36. So we're looking at the 36 fader console here. And as you can tell, it's a lot of touchscreen. And many consoles nowadays, they still try to represent everything with kind of analog channel strip. We don't do that anymore because shows got so big and it requires new workflows. So we always have this combination of touch and encoders, right? And maybe as you can tell, if we have 12 channels here, we have for each encoder, like green is the EQ, so we can just mix through it like we would do on an analog board. We don't have this concept of you have to select something first in order to do something with it. Everything is direct access. You have it right on your fingers and it speeds up the process massively.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
That includes things like you have a built-in web browser. So normally all the stuff that we are doing on computers, right, either has a web interface that you got to control, or if it doesn't, we can just load up. Let me do that here. If I long press that, and we have a built-in remote desktop. Let me call up the DAW. Takes a little moment. Here we are. So that could be my Pro Tools, for example, right? So all the things where you normally would have to leave the console to do something. And I mean, if you leave the console, you're not mixing anymore, right? So we did a lot of that to bring all of this closer to the engineer. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, I would think that this is very intuitive. It's almost like, what is the learning curve that you have experienced when you introduce it to somebody?
It is pretty fast, because with a traditional console, you always have to select, okay, I want to do something on the input parameters. I want to do something on the EQ. I want to go to the auxes. So far, so good, right? But what you can do here, whatever your workflow is, you can build the channel strips yourself. So I have one for sound check, and most people would need input gain, high cut, low cut, pan, for example, to get something going, right? So here you can build one that has exactly that, if that is your workflow. So you can tell the band, hey guys, just play, and you go through it like you would do on an analog desk. And from there, maybe you want to put some effects on. Normally you would have to go to the auxes, scroll down, find the effects, just build a custom strip called effects, and you don't have to search for that anymore. And if you want to introduce new people to the console, you talk a bit, figure out how they work, configure the channel strips to their workflow, and they will be happy with that in like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fast.
You have a console?
Wow.
Yeah, we have two consoles on the Eurovision Song Contest right now.
So anybody seen that yesterday?
No. Did they show it? Did they show the console on TV?
And they never show any gear on TV other than lighting.
Damn those bastards. Ah! All right, man.
And I mean,
that's the star of the show right there.
Well, yep. What's the interface between the console and the stage box? Is it just Ethernet, or is there some other?
None. And that's the point. I mean, the surface itself, right, that's connected via Ethernet. But the console, if we look at this, I don't know if you can see it. Wait, maybe I can change. I can maybe change the lights here. So this is the 4096K router here, right? And this is the console DSP. So the console lives directly in the routing matrix. And this is why it has only 7 samples latency, because the DSPs, they pick up the signal right from the backplane, processes, and put it back on. But that being said, if the console is in there, you also have access to all the up to 65,000 inputs and outputs of the network directly from the console, including controlling the parameters. So on the control side, yes, it's a redundant Ethernet network, but on the audio side, there is no interfacing because the console is part of the entire thing. And that is pretty unique. StageTech is, to my knowledge, the only company who does that.
You put two consoles in the
front. And you can put two consoles in the same router.
Now, what if you would use one console for monitoring the monitor system and another console for front of house? Is there, how do you link those two together? And is there any challenge with gain sharing?
No, because you can put both consoles in the same router, in the same big router. And then on the input side, you would say front of house takes split A of all the microphone inputs. And that means you have individual digital trim, low cut from flat to 155 hertz. So you can even clean up the signal right there at the input stage. You have a limiter, and obviously phantom power is the same for all four, right? And then front and monitors would take split B.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no gain sharing or anything. Everybody could use his own split.
Each converter has four
outputs. Yeah, each converter has four outputs in the routing matrix.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. So now let me open it up. Somebody's got some technical questions. If anybody in the room's got any technical questions other than the get Ken.
Is that also within, you have the console built in, but you can also phase step into this. You can start with the input and stuff. There it is, some DSP processing for routing and stuff. You could do that. But you could also, if you're not ready to go there, your engineers are don't want to give up their tactile that they have, they're used to the 338 or whatever, you can access your 338 or Yamaha or whatever into the network and still mix on your console you're used to and still have the advantages of the network.
Yeah. So if you have a Yamaha console connected, in that case, it's a CL and QL because for whatever reason, Yamaha doesn't want to support our stuff yet in the DM and PM series. But in the CL and QL, it will show up as mountable device. Every CL and QL has that. If you mount the devices, scroll all the way down, you will see stage tech. So it will just talk the real protocol and you can control the gain settings or trim settings and low cut and all of that. And with the Digico, you would go MADI, but you can control the head amps via OC. So you would just go external controls and do it from there.
So does it use Dante or what format or AVB? How do they talk?
For Yamaha, it would be Dante. Same like you would connect a Rio. So you would connect it to a Dante card and it would discover it. And for Digico, it would be MADI.
Mm-hmm. And what about AVB for an Avid concert?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. But really, you really, you know, and is it true? I mean, is it true? It's priced the same point as a Behringer X32?
Yeah, microphone, but is that about the same price like a Behringer X32?
Yeah, the socks are the same price as a Neumann power supply. So Ken will be holding on to those socks for a long time.
But it's actually not so bad. I mean, if you would compare it, let's say you would build a stage box with a similar configuration, like a Digico rack with 32-bit cards, SD-Rack, or the Yamaha rack with what is called RPIOs.
RPIO.
Yeah, it's in the same neighborhood. So it's not like totally out there somewhere.
So if I wanted, let's just say 64 channels, what type of pricing is that equivalent to? 150, 200?
Probably less than half of that.
Okay, very good. So how many is Spectrum bought today? I mean, how many is Ken have in his inventory?
Keeps going up. We haven't stopped yet.
Yeah.
Right, well, hey, don't let up on him.
Ask for their tour for it.
And you could always take out a mortgage out on your building. That's all there is to it, you know?
The other one, too, you can also send tracks other places, too. Put it online and you'll network it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So it seems to me. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
No, I was just curious. So Meyer Sound Labs uses the Galileo box, which typically in the signal path is kind of, you know, the mixer outs go to the Galileo and then the Galileo hooks into your array. Can this replace Galileo? So in other words, in all of your digital stuff there, you've got humidity and barometric pressure and delay and all of that is available, or would I still need a Galileo box for driving an array?
I think we're looking at two different things here. I mean, the Galileo itself is designed to be a PA controller, right? And it provides workflows and tools that a system engineer would want to see. And I think it's the same thing if you have companies using a Prodigy for their PA stuff or whatever D&B has or L-Acoustics has, right? It's just a different tool for a different purpose. We have DSP cards independent to the console. So if it's a theater, opera house, convention center, right, you can use these and they are top notch to do delays and EQs for your speakers and all of this. And it's directly sitting in the routing system. Mm-hmm. But I personally don't think that would make the system engineer happy. what you could consider if you have Nexus on stage and Nexus at front of house, right? It's just like going AES into the Galileo so he can do his thing, and then going back out of the Galileo into Nexus to just distribute the process signals, right? But it's the same, like, I mean, the system engineer, he has his tools he wants to work with, right? And they are not going away. So I don't think it would make sense to try to replace that.
But you can do your smart and your analyzing stuff with it.
Now, I have a question. Kurt, how does this compare to a gamble? I mean, you know, what do you think?
Kurt's installing drywall. I don't even think he's on the mic.
Which one?
He's driving. Kurt is from...
Well, it probably is the digital...
Unmute him, Jan.
Oh, unmute him. Let's see if I can unmute Kurt. Let's see. Where is Kurt? I got him. I got you unmuted, buddy. Dad, you're unmuted.
There we go.
You're good to go.
Nothing compares to the gamble. But I do like the layout, though. I like the one knob, one job thing.
Yeah, it looks to me like you're on a cable car. Where are you going? Are you going up to the Swiss Alps? What's happening?
No, I'm going home from the shop.
Oh. That is a large sunroof in that car.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah. Kurt's just trying to figure out now where does he get the money to buy a few of these? That's about it, you know? That's all there is to it.
I mean,
well, on the whole Galaxy thing, yeah, I mean, I would agree. There's a lot of proprietary stuff in there that's not going to really be in a console and shouldn't be. Like all pass filtering stuff and product integration, all those things. Those are going to be unique to each manufacturer.
Yeah, but at least you could take you could get Milan out from them and go straight to Milan in on the Galileo, and then you save any additional conversions. So that's not bad.
No. That can happen with lots of different manufacturers and interfaces. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the connection to PA, right, that would be, unless it's used in a permanent installation where we're dealing with that too, but in the touring world, I think that will just always remain either AES out into a Galileo or what a lake or whatever they use, because that's their tool. That's their tool set. And it has its own purpose.
Yeah, I was at the NAMM show asking people if anything like this existed, and they said no.
Well, he was going to be at InfoComm in the bottom line.
Yeah.
We should do the compact.
Before you do that, I want to ask you a question about broadcast, because NAB was just there. Is your console, it seems like it's digital, it seems like the noise ratio with the floor is very low, and what about the gain structure?
What do you mean?
As far as, well, you know, what kind of overhead do you have?
Well, it's 158 dB, so you have that a lot of dynamic range to deal with. So they do a lot. This came from NAB. This was at NAB a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. So there, I was right on the money.
158 is clipping?
158 would be plus 24 dB on the input side.
So that's the clipping, but perfect. All right, plus 24.
But I mean, actually, it's not really correct, because... it depends on what reference level you set the system to.
I'm talking about the power supply rails. When do you get the power supply rails? When do you run out of power to drive the transducers or whatever it is you're driving? That's the headroom. The place between where you run it and where you run out of quality sound is your headroom, right? Is that's what that's defined as the headroom? The place where you happy and where it sounds bad.
I mean, as long as we stay in the digital domain, it sounds whatever it sounds. The question is just, once we go out, what analog reference level do you set?
Right, but I think that's what Jan was asking you. What is, within your subsystem, You just said it. It's plus 24, which is perfect. That's exactly what the broadcast standard is. So as long as that's, say, if you reference it zero, because in Europe and in anywhere outside of the United States, everybody uses a zero dBm reference. Here we in the States, we use a plus four reference. And broadcast used to be plus eight, terminated into a 600 ohm load. But now things are all high impedance. Right? So it's the wild, wild west.
Yeah. So you can set the reference level for the system. Maybe. Say this is my analog reference level, and the system will convert according to that.
But when you're running, when you're running it in broadcast, you have 24 dB headroom, which is phenomenal. If you can still do 158 decibels,
Switzerland, the entire Swiss broadcast is Nexus and these consoles and the previous consoles. So
it all runs on balanced power. Right?
Soon? Yeah, actually, you could run it on balanced power. It's not going to do anything.
Yeah. All right. So you wanted to show us the compact. Show us the compact.
The compact.
But what do you do for effects?
Nothing.
So that all needs to be external?
Yeah, yes. Yes. I mean, we have waves integration, right? So session sync, snapshot sync. And then if you want to do something on the plugins themselves, as I just showed earlier, you get the rave track right in your screen with a remote desktop and take it from there. But the majority of our customers, if you go opera houses, right, they want to use their Quantex or Precustis. If you go theater, they have the original EMT plate sitting in the attic, right? So it's like whatever we would put in there wouldn't be the right thing anyway.
What's the process for integrating an external analog effects device, and what's the latency associated with that?
Well, the latency, we just talked about it earlier, that the entire latency, including the mixing console, AD, DA, and the mixing console and everything in between, is at 0.72 milliseconds, and that includes the console. So if you would add an insert there, do you want it analog or digital?
Analog.
So it would be one sample going out of the console. It would be DA, I think it's three samples going out to analog, and then four samples going back in if you use a line card, and one sample going back into the console. So it would be what, nine samples, 10 samples, if I'm right, including conversion.
And would that happen at the stage rack or out in front of house?
Normally in the setup that we have right here, right? This is the
concept. It happens in the split, right? It happens in places where people can take their own.
That would happen at front of house. I mean, this is kind of my front of house rack here, right? I have the console there. I have another device here. And in that case, actually, I have it prepared like that. So they have an XLR panel in the back, these two cards, right? So it would go out here. Right at front of house, into my side rack, and then back in.
And then this is the stage.
And is there local I/O at front of house?
Whatever you want. It's the same procedure as there is nothing like this is the stage rack, this is the local I/O. We put everything together in the way you want it. So if you would like to have 100 line ins and line outs at front of house, that's what you get.
Oh, so every console is custom configured.
Yeah. And we know every configuration in the world. So if you have any issues, you call us up and we can set it up in the lab one-to-one to figure out what's going on.
And that's all based by serial number?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the cards obviously and the devices are by serial number, but every configuration has an ID and a name and customers. So we know if you call us, he's calling us, that's his setup. So we know.
These guys are German, so everything's written down.
Very good. Very good. So I have a question regarding remote mixing. Okay, remote mixing. How effective is this? So because more and more people are doing remote mixing, how effective is your console in regarding remote mixing? And what do you need on various ends to get it to communicate with one another?
how do you transport audio?
I use a moving van whenever I need to transport audio.
This is obviously the same thing like with anybody else, right? How do you get audio from A to B? And if we're talking more on site, IOs on site, and you only got to transport, let's say the control room, some comms, and the control data for the surface to a remote location, right? That's pretty straightforward, because if you manage to set up your network, your WAN network, in a way that it acts like a local network via VPN tunnels, whatever you want to do, the surface will not care. So the only thing is, will you get the latency low enough that the audio, I mean, the surface itself, it has the near field outputs in there, it has two headphone outputs, talkback, that's all included in the surface protocol. So if you get this latency low enough that you're not hitting a timeout, you will be fine immediately. If you don't, you will have the same issues like everybody else, right? What do we do with the clock? Do we need a GPS clock? Do we need to buffer it? Or are we just running an internet stream radio thing for my control room, right? So that's the same like with everybody else. For the surface control data, that's no problem. Actually, if you like, I can quickly connect to my console in Frankfurt. We also have a website running for the console. We don't have an app, you got to install. So I don't know if you can see it, but I'm just connecting to my console sitting in Frankfurt. So that's like, what, 9,000 miles round trip. And if I open up an EQ, the yellow dot, I'm really not sure if you can see it. The yellow dot is local.
We can.
EQ response line, that's the
Tallyback.
DSP response coming back from the console. So that would be the processing delay we would have.
This is what everybody has been looking for.
Yeah. So the only thing you got to figure out is what to do with the control room data.
Yeah. So the other gentleman that's sitting next to you from ClearComm, I mean, they're using like voice over IP for push to talk. Does that integrate into this at all? Or
it's your turn.
Okay. I'm just helping out with this. Friend of the company, ClearComm does have cloud-based intercom stuff. I'm not here because there's an integration between the two companies. So
it's ClearComm,
yeah, just it's a benevolent friendship between two companies. So I'm helping out with this and helping them, pointing them in the right direction, getting started here in the U.S. I'm still doing the ClearComm stuff. And the coolest thing in the ClearComm stuff is the cloud stuff, getting GenIC up on the cloud. And then we're basically using Google servers around the world. So you can get on a server in Tokyo and load up. And in about 10 minutes, you can do a complete cloud intercom system, put out the passwords to everybody, and on your phone,
are you going to show us Stormy Daniel pictures? Because I don't want to see any. Really, that's it. You know,
horse face. Horse face.
That's the wrong thing. Well, this is Agent IC on my phone, so I can latch the listen, latch the talk. Hello. Oh, wait, I turn the level up.
I can hear you.
Check. You can't hear the delay. It's round trip to Carlsbad, California, and back to my phone. It sounds like a slapback echo. So,
wow.
Yeah,
but assuming people don't want to take the risk of losing internet connectivity during a show, I mean, obviously, this can all be done on a LAN, right? I mean,
yeah, you can do that stuff. But the thing is, this is how the NFL draft got done. So I got a call 2020. Probably third week of March,
It was the NFL guys that did the NFL draft. We can't do the NFL draft the way we were going to do it anymore because nobody can travel, right? So we put together the entire NFL draft with all the teams, Roger Goodell's basement, Las Vegas, ESPN. We put everything together in a redundant system, one in Carlsbad, one in Alameda. We worked with the NFL's IT department for straightening out, making sure that there was no ability to hack the system, find out who's trading who, that sort of stuff. The teams could do point-to-point communications from one team to another all through the system, and then they turned around the next year and bought the whole system. But this can sit on an iPad, or it can sit on a PC or on your phone, or you can have a channel on your watch connected directly into a massive intercom system.
And anything that can do put PTT, push to talk, and you're ready to roll.
And you can integrate systems. So I can have this talking to a system in Brazil, a site in Brazil, and that might be a massive setup, and I might get four channels of that integrated onto my phone into a system in Brazil. We do things like ships that go out in the Gulf that service oil rigs. The ships are entirely ClearCom equipped. So the captain talks to the guys on the deck. They can talk back and forth. And these guys pick up submersible subs and drop them through a hole in the middle of the ship that go down. But the crane operator has a push to talk with his foot that's ruggedized, and he can talk on his headset to the captain of the ship. So there's a lot of business for stuff like that.
I have to interrupt you right now. This is room for a complete new show about ClearCom, and we would love for you to come in and talk about that at a later date, you know, because my audience can only, you know, my audience is unifocused. You know, they can't think too many things at one time, you know.
Jan, I got to know, though, can you program in a 3-second delay in case somebody says something dumb about the client?
Oh, that's cool bananas, man. Man, that sounds very nice.
Yeah. I'm going to turn you back over to Daniel. We can do this another time, and I'll jump on and do ClearCom stuff. But Daniel's got to show you
But even I hijacked the show. So,
No. This is not. This is exactly where I want to go with the show. You know, it's like talking amongst friends, but talking about things that mean something to us. And this really means something. This is technology at its finest. It's the cutting edge. And you're bringing us basically a gift of knowledge. And really, you know, we love it. I know I love it. You know, this is a great birthday present. Thank you so much. The one thing that I am missing from you guys is your names. You mentioned your name so fast that I didn't really get it, and I don't think everybody else in the room got it as well. So if you could just reintroduce yourselves, that's great.
I'm Mike Franklin. I live in Boston. Sometimes I'm in Arizona, down in Tucson. I got a place down there also. And this is
Mike. We don't talk about our personal problems. Just
I'm Daniel Schindler. Schindler. Yeah, like the movie.
Like the list.
Oh, I never heard that before.
Yeah, das gut. Yeah. Interesting.
So now I'm really curious. Talk about the compact.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but come on, I want to know. I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
You see it?
So what that is 8 Nexus microphone converters, including the 4 digital splits, 8 lineouts, 8 AES in and out, and GPIO in the desktop format.
Can you show us the back?
It's connected, actually. I'll try. Yeah. It's a DB25. And you can do out-of-band management. You can do in-band management. It can run on PoE, it can run on a power supply, and if you have both connected, you have a redundant power supply.
Wow, PoE, that's fantastic.
And that's all Cat 6?
That's some cheap something cable there.
Yeah.
hey, don't say that about Porter. Come on. He's got good mine. Shit there.
It's my cable.
No one cares.
So
for
this
a short is, run doesn't matter.
This is cables that I brought. It has nothing to do with Ken's cables.
Okay.
You can have this thing either as Dante or AS67 version. And it has a website running on that. Can you see it?
HTML browser. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And you have a dashboard there that gives you an overview over the 8 microphone inputs, line outs, stuff like that. If we look at the microphone inputs, we have the same parameters as we would have in Nexus, right? So low card limiter, all of this. We can select the 4 splits, set the digital trims, can label that. Then on the input side, we have the other inputs, AS3, 8x, 64 audio over IP. We can make that stereo if you want. Then on the output side, we have the 8 analog outs, AES, audio over IP. So if I want to send something that is coming in audio over IP out of line out 8, I just click on line out 8, select the audio over IP input, and my routing is done. What's also in there, it's 16 processing channels that are not like a mixing console, not permanently tied to microphone input. You can assign that to any input of the system. And on the input side, you have a 10-band EQ. It's the same like on the console. On the console, every EQ is a 10-band EQ. So you have low cut, high cut, low shelf, high shelf, 4 peak filters, 2 notch filters. And here you can even switch all peak filters to notch filters. You can have up to 6 notch filters. You have a delay up to 4 seconds, expander, compressor. And on the mix bus side, you have 16 mix buses that have the same 10-band EQ, compressor, limiter, so no expander on the output side, and another delay that can go up to 4 seconds. So... Wow. With that, it's basically the Swiss Army knife, right?
That's gorgeous. Jesus.
If you have a studio, small studio, right, but you have to deliver world-class tracks, this is the thing you want to have. If you do field recording, this is the thing you want to have. If you have a Nexus system, or by the way, this can be controlled by Yamaha consoles either. So if you don't like the Rios and you want to go a bit more fancy, or if you like the Rios and you want to go a bit more fancy, you can use that as IO for your CL5. If you want to use that in a standalone application to mix a few microphones just using the website, you can do that. You can use it as PA signal distribution, right? Put that in the lay tower, and if you do the DVD production, you have great converters for your ambience. You can use it at front of house to do the summing between guest consoles, anything. So this is really the Swiss Army knife of audio engineering.
So if you were going to do a 5-1 out, you'd have to burn 3 stereo.
I mean, at the moment we're at stereo, but this is not going to stop there. So at the moment we have mono stereo, but it's not going to end. I mean, the console goes up till 714. So this is work in progress. Like, the console has 8 independent auto mixers, no channel limit. One of them will also find its way in here. So this is not the end of our plans with that.
It's a rack mount
version. Yeah, we didn't say anything. So at IBC, there's going to be some more news about that. Yeah, so that's the compact, and that's also the first time, let's say, the stage tech quality is available at a price where it's more interesting for the broader audience. Can I say that? How much?
Well,
please.
You can say whatever you want. Remember, everything we hear today is opinion. You got to do your own
It's
research.
An opinion. You can always change your opinion and change the price. Yeah.
This thing is $6,500.
US
dollars.
Wow.
$6,500 at that price, I'll take 10. Just have them gift wrapped, though. It's my birthday. No.
Drop me an email. I'll make that happen.
yes. Just...
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's a short tour. But as Ken said, if you're at what's it called, Infocom, come by
next month. And I don't know, Jan, are you going to go back to Vegas for Infocom?
Who knows what I'm doing right now? All I know is I'm living the dream, baby. Living the dream. That's it. And it's not a nightmare either. It's a dream, I tell you. You know, the life that I'm living.
What part are we in?
Right now, where am I?
Yeah, what part of the country?
I am in a little town called Wah Hin, which is where the king of Thailand has his summer palace. So,
where are you?
I am in Thailand. I'm in Hoa Hin.
Okay, because I usually do a lot of work in a studio at Lake Starnberg in Tutsing, and that's where the king of Thailand spends his summers or his winters.
Yes, that's it. Where he's spending all his time there right now. And he seems right like he's spending a lot of time there.
Yeah, and that's right next to a studio that I'm working in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always funny when he's around.
Yeah, he likes your country. That's all I could say. You know, he likes it there.
So Jan, that's basically the Mar-a-Lago of Thailand then?
Yes. Well, I wouldn't call it the Mar-a-Lago. I would call it the, you know, I mean, depending on who you are and what you have and where you want and what you like in life, the thing that I would say is that the number one aspect of it is it's very nice, low-key living very here. Really low key and really, really, it's just beautiful all the time. The other thing that I would say is a highlight of it is that because the king put his house here, all of the infrastructure is here that would be in a major city. Including they're putting in high speed rail to Bangkok next year, which will be 1 hour from Bangkok. But right now, by car, it's about 2.5 hours drive to Bangkok. And, so it's a great location. The weather is a little bit hot right now, but then again, it's hot everywhere in the world. It's the hottest year on record ever.
Except for the southern hemisphere where it's winter.
I have a question about the surface.
The surface is hot. I got to tell you, you know. But you're talking about the console.
How many layers?
Layers. He's asking about layers.
60 layers of 32 faders each.
The way the blocks are divided here, or the base are divided, it's always 12 faders.
12 faders, nice.
12 Love faders that. Times 16 layers. So you have 8 layers in the front, 8 layers in the back.
Awesome. Are they virtual faders, or are they actually a handle you can touch? I couldn't tell.
They're like real.
Real faders.
And they got
but you also have touch screen too.
And it's a touch screen. And you can make it large if you want.
The only reason I ask is because the console I generally mix on goes 12 layers deep, and I just can't wrap my head around having almost 5,000 inputs and 5,000 outputs. If you take one of the desks that I work on kind of on a daily basis and you completely max it out, it's supposed to do 4096 square in all areas. Inputs, outputs, groups, auxes.
That's an inner mix for everybody.
Whatever you want to do. It's crazy.
And what is a little bit different with that console is if you want to go out and back in of the console, right? Since you're directly in the routing matrix, you can also just open up the matrix. Sounds funny, right? We live in the matrix. And you will have all... I really don't know if you can see that. Maybe I make it a bit larger. That's the software it comes with, the routing system, so independent to the console. And what I could do now, this is the console, right? So if I click on one of the DSP cards, I can see this is kick in, monitor direct, insert, snare, right? And if I go to the output part, if I go to that part, I have kick input A, kick input B, kick sidechain input, kick insert, right? So I could just take these four inputs of the console and route anything I want from that. So I don't even have to sacrifice any bus or something to go in and out if I don't want. So that gives me a little more flexibility there. And obviously you could also save these as status that you recall independent to the console project. So it's a different way of thinking, and I mean, the maximum this console does is about 800 audio channels. So it's not just because you have 60,000 sources available, they will not be managed only by one console. But let's assume maybe you have 1,000 channels that just is just routing from A to B somewhere. They have nothing to do with the console, right? Or
when you do a startup, do you have to commission the console? Do you have to tell it how many ins and outs? Is it based on the customer's preferences, or does it just come that way?
No, it just comes that way. And when you create a console projects, you define what your mixes and your buses should look like, and whatever DSP is left will automatically become input channels.
So can you save a show design or file to like a thumb drive and move it to another one of your consoles? And if you can, what if it's configured differently? What if it has a different number of outputs or different?
It won't. That's what he's saying. They're all the same. That's the reason I asked that question, because that's the problem in my world right now. I can have two of the exact same consoles in two different trucks, but how they're integrated into the truck could be different as far as the inputs and outputs. It could have exactly the same amount, but just...
That's the same here. I mean, obviously, the next Nexus system with a console in there that you go to might be totally different, but nevertheless, you can load your console project. You might have to do the routing, right? But of course you have to, because if the IO infrastructure is a different one, how is the console supposed to know where stuff comes in and out, right? But you can load your project, and then you just have to do the input and output routing again.
So things like panning and naming and gain and EQ and that kind of stuff will transfer. You might just have to change the IO.
Yes, that's the only thing you got to do. You got to reroute your inputs and outputs, but the console project itself stays the same.
Fascinating is all I could say. By the way, I just, if you look at the screen right now, you'll see that I have the link to his website, stagetech.com. So if you guys want to go there and look at it, there it is, stagetech.com. Very cool. Very, very, very cool. And so anyway, we love it. This has been very informative. How can people reach you other than by going to your website?
I would say easiest way and fastest way is through the website, right? If you would want to reach one of us in the United States.
StageTech US at StageTech.com.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a naming conflict here between you and Alan Heath?
Why?
I said, do we have a naming conflict here between you and Alan Heath?
Well, we were first, but we had a bunch of naming conflicts in the past, because there was a situation where Cisco thought it is a good idea to name a switch Nexus. Was a good day for us. I think it was Samsung who came up with a cell phone Nexus. That was a good day for us. So I really would like to encourage everybody to name an audio or electronic products Nexus or any StageTech product, and we will have a good day.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages. Just remember, it's an opinion, so do your own research, you know, if you want.
Yeah, Schwanz Audio.
All right. Well, don't go away. Don't leave. We're going to go offline and you'll give us the information. So one other question that I have, if someone was going to purchase your product, what's the distribution like? How does that work? Do you have to go through Spectrum Sound to buy it?
Well, we have several partners in the United States. I can give you that later too. I'm on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and but the regular way would be, in terms of the workflow, if you have a project, right, or setup you want to have us to take a look at, and that's actually normal for us. We take a look at every configuration, every setup, at the schematic drawings of what the customers want to do, and then we suggest a system configuration where we think that works best for you, and then we go together with the customer. We look at this configuration. Is it the correct cards? Is this what you want to do? And then we configure it and ship it.
Oh, by the way, there is a wonderful company in the United States called soundbroker.com. I have personally happen to know the owner of the company. He's an amazing marketeer, and he might be able to assist you in getting some information out to the public. I don't know. You know, I can't speak for him. Oh, yes, I can. But it's an opinion. That's it. So I'm doing my own research.
Get him in touch with somebody from StageTech.
That's right. That's right. Ken Newman. Ken Newman, you're there. So do you have any questions? Because I know you always have insightful questions and how it affects what you do for a living. And you do it, you know. How's Manilow treating you today?
I've been better. I'm trying to install a new version of Lake Controller, and apparently it doesn't work with Windows 7. Any of you guys know? You guys know? No?
Didn't we have it working when I was over there, Ken?
Oh yeah, it's working. I'm just trying to update the software, and it apparently doesn't like Windows 7.
See, Ken, if you had a StageTech console right there, you wouldn't be having this problem. You'd be able to be paying more attention to the show.
It's a separate device, just like the system controllers. A Lake is a system controller, so it's a separate device. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So nobody knows. Nobody here knows, right?
Okay. Don't know specifically.
Ken Porter must know. I have a feeling if anybody knows.
Ken Porter has people for that. Ken Porter probably has people to handle that for him.
See, you need a systems guy, Ken.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm in touch with him by text, but he's
the console tech.
He's not positive.
Well, I don't like Windows 7.
Have you updated all your Lake controllers to version 8, Ken?
I don't think so. I have a lot more. I'm not sure because we're using Prodigies.
Yeah, right. A lot of people are, but I still like my leg.
You dinosaur, you.
And just remember, everything here today is an opinion. So do your own research. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, I'm trying to do my own research, but I don't have internet connection here.
So, well, it's a good thing at the Westlake Hotel, ladies and gentlemen, the Westlake Hotel. What time is the show tonight?
Oh shit! And my hard drive is not showing up. Oh, that's bad. Okay,
we're gonna let you go back to work. You know, so we'll stop bothering you.
Maybe you better use the force, Ken.
Yeah,
use
no kidding. Yeah,
fighting electronics before a show.
Well, his probably shows
no
not
show
tomorrow.
Today, Ken. No, not till 24 hours from now. Do I have to have it ready?
Oh, so you have plenty of time. You have plenty of time.
Essentially, I have plenty of time. I changed from an Andiamo to a Prodigy in my rack here last Friday night. It took 3 hours after the show on Friday night. That was great.
And when I got to, when I was up there in Vegas in March, I went over on the night, like tonight, and helped him with a couple of those computer questions. That was kind of fun. We got it all working before we left.
Yeah, when I went to the show and I was at the booth, I had to block all the women that were coming up to him asking him questions about what he was doing there. You know, they thought he was a relative of Manilow, so I had to interface with them, keep them away. But we ended up getting a koala bear anyway after the whole thing, and he's got it there to protect himself from all the other Aussies. There you go, Wayne. So be careful. Be careful. Don't go close. It bites. Okay.
Oh, you're muted, Ken.
Yeah, I said if only this koala bear knew about Windows 7 with Lake Controller version 8.
Well, there's somebody with anyway. So who's got something else to say? We've been going longer than normal. I want to thank StageTech, these guys. I want to thank Daniel and Mike and Ken Porter for bringing them on. It's you're very enlightening. I've actually been looking for this kind of ambience to the show, bringing something more and knowledge to people of what's new and exciting and how they can interface with what we bring to them in their day-to-day lives. And this is perfect. This is actually right where I want to be. So thank you so much, Ken, and thanks, Daniel, and Mike. I'm going to hold you to this to get you on another episode of Thinking Out Loud with Friends to talk about what ClearComm is doing and how people can use it to interface in their daily lives. So there we go. Anybody have anything that they want to say before we say goodbye to the streaming audiences? Not one person wants to wish me a happy birthday. What the hell is going on around here?
Happy birthday, James.
No singing. This is like Wayne's World. No Stairway of Heaven allowed here. You know, that's it, you know?
So, Jan, are you 27 today?
Say that again?
27th birthday?
May 7th is my birthday, yeah, but today's May 8th. Yeah, so you know what? Like I said, they give away free food, and so I always say, hey, free food on my birthday? Today is my birthday. What a lucky day for me.
You have this one, 27, right?
Yeah.
I thought Jan was turning 25.
And by the way, David Dansky's birthday is tomorrow. So, tomorrow. David, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, right, so David.
You can celebrate your birthday on the 7th on the 8th. I can celebrate my 9th on the 8th. So happy birthday to me, too.
Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. Just remember, if you like the show, give it a thumbs up. Share it with your friends. This one's really interesting. It's very there's so much to learn, and we've learned a lot today. Stage tech. I'm impressed. I have to tell you, I haven't been impressed by a demonstration of a console in a long time. And it seems like if people know about this, this is, you know, just an amazing tool to get great audio with low latency and low noise level and interfacing with the monitor desk without any. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It just seems like it's a really good product. And it's totally configurable to what you need. How much more do you need? That's it. You got it. If I was Digico or Yamaha, I would be shaking in my boots right now. But fortunately, I'm not. So I'm not shaking. That's all there is to it. With that in mind, if there's anyone else that wants to say anything, now's the time. Otherwise, we're going to say goodbye. All right. That's it for us now. Well, we're going to stay in the room and chit chat. If you want to join us, DM any one of us and we'll send you a link to the show. Give it a thumbs up, share it with your friends, and remember, you make it happen. Stay safe and stay healthy. And remember, above all, everything you heard today is an opinion, so do your own research. All right, we'll see you again next week, everybody, for the 208th episode of Thinking Out Loud with Friends. And we are off the air.